Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. My song forever shall record and the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 241.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof the second chapter, and the first 20 verses. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, and the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, and they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who is still in the hospital in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered in this morning of this work week day, a day which is set aside still yet in our nation, and that is known to thee. Wherefore we as a church come up unto thy house to commemorate the birth of thy dear Son into this world. Lord, the world around us and does commemorate in a worldly, in an earthly way. Oh, that it may be kept from the homes of each and every one of us. But Lord, that there may be in its place a desire which does not lie in us by nature, that there may yet be a longing in this morning that we may receive that gift of Thee, and that He may be born also not only in this world, but that we may receive Him into our hearts. O Lord, then how necessary it is that Thou wouldst come and visit us as Thou didst visit those shepherds. How necessary that Thou would come and reveal unto us as Thou hast revealed it unto the wise men, that all together we may come with them to bow before that blessed child. And Lord, Thou knowest Thy own church. Oh, He is for them such a hidden person so often. Oh, He needs to be revealed even in their hearts, in their lives, the same as He was revealed unto those of old. Because, Lord, we cannot see Him. And then there are those that do despair of ever receiving that desire of their heart, that they may return into that blessed communion with Thee. Because they cannot see the way, O Lord. Because they know not how. That they, as a wretched and as a guilty creature, can be reconciled unto a holy and a righteous God. O, every way from our side Thou wilt cut off. And Thou wilt lead into the depths of the knowledge of sin in order to expose to Thy people how great their sins and their miseries are, that they may be given open eyes to see that that old covenant is so broken through the weakness of our flesh. Oh Lord, when there is in this morning a people that must smite upon their breast and cry out with the publican of old, O God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. Oh, may Thou open unto them, unto such ones in this morning hour, that which Thou hast done in Thine only begotten Son. Lord, no man could show them their wretchedness, but Thou hast shown it to them. Thou hast opened it to them, some lesser and some greater. But Lord, there is none that can show to them how they can be delivered from their wretchedness and from their misery. That also belongs to Thee. And therefore, O Lord, we beseech Thee. Oh, we can never understand with our minds what that means for Thy dear Son to become incarnate. But oh, that we may be given to worship Him by Thy Spirit and by Thy truth implanted in our hearts. Lord, leave us not without this blessing this day when we are come up unto Thy house of prayer. Thy servant did show that we need to go through that wicked gate. That was out of Thy own word. Thou sayest, I am the door. If by me any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. Lord, wilt Thou open unto those that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness? Oh, that that way may go open unto them personally, and that they may be given to behold Him who is outside of themselves, and that Thou wouldst for the first time or by renewal set Thy afflicted and poor church on the inside for a moment by that true saving faith. Lord, may Thou open to them the riches in Thy dear Son. Then it goes back to the good pleasure of the Father. Oh, may Thou open it unto Thy church. And wilt Thou establish also Thy people, Thy chosen ones. Oh, that Thou would lead them further in Thy steps of grace. O Lord, we live in a time that is so poor also in the midst of Thy church. O may Thou instruct them and may Thou lead them from strength unto strength in that way of Zion. Lord, when we are strangers of these matters, when we are strangers of Thy Son, when we are strangers even of the knowledge of ourselves, oh, then we come by form and custom and maybe an outward desire, may it be. But Lord, oh, we beseech Thee that in this morning Thou wouldst open eyes and hearts, that for the first time in our life we may see that we miss that one thing that is so necessary in our life. And that in these moments that we may be stopped upon our mad career, that we may be turned from our vain and sinful ways, and that we may be drawn by Thy Spirit, oh, then we shall run after Thee. Lord, give hunger and thirst where there is none, but hunger and thirst after this world. Wilt Thou give life where there is death? Wilt Thou give desire where there is slothfulness? Lord, wilt Thou give Thy grace where there is nothing but unworthiness? And wilt Thou show Thy mercy to those who are wretched and undone in themselves? And that so this day, oh, that the angels in heaven may sing as they did in that day, that Thou sentest Thy beloved Son into this world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, may it be their song about Thy holy throne, high and lifted up. Oh, may it be also sung here below by those that are destitute, by those that have sinned themselves outside of everything, by those that are in the pit, by those that sink in the mire. Oh, that it also may be sung by them when Thou wilt put a new song in their mouth because of Thy deliverance. Lord, oh, what do we wait for? Our hope is in Thee. Wilt Thou remember each one? Be with those that are not able to be with us in Thy house, that must stay in their homes taking care of younger ones, or even downstairs. Be with those that may be afflicted and sick. Be with the young child that is still in the hospital. Thou hast made it thus far well through the operation that he had to receive. Lord, may Thou bless the ways for the body and for the soul, for himself, for his parents, for his family. Oh, instruct all of us together. Be with widows, widowers, and orphans. Be with all that are not married and those that are widowed and those that go over this life alone for any reason. Oh, that Thou may be near to them,
that thou may visit them also in this day? Wilt thou go with us in the preaching of thy holy word? Lord, then we stand before this day once again. Oh, we ask thee for thy help, that we may receive in our mind what is necessary to understand and to bring it in simplicity, that also the young ones may understand. But Lord, wilt thou fill our heart, O thy servant, that ask for a double portion of the Holy Spirit of the Lord to lie upon him, in order that he may fulfill the office that was laid upon his shoulders. Lord, we stand here to speak thy word. Thou hast not yet taken it from the midst of us as a congregation. But now we beseech thee especially that thou may use one little word in the midst of us in this morning hour. To old or to young, oh, that thou wouldst give and thy spirit to dwell in the midst of us, and that it could please thee to be the moment of thy good pleasure, to open the eyes of the understanding and of the heart, and to open the heart and that it may go out with holy longings to thee. Lord, dependent we are upon thy Holy Spirit, thou knowest it. Oh, do it then in this morning. We beseech thee, forgive. Oh, forgive and take away everything that is sinful within us and without. Oh, blot it out, Lord. And remove our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. And withhold not thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 194, stanzas 3-6, the kings shall come from distant lands and islands of the sea. Oblations they shall bring to him and wait on bended knee. Psalter 194, stanzas 3-6. Congregation, in this day we may commemorate the blessed day of Christmas. That is the incarnation of the Son of God, who is able to comprehend the mystery of this incarnation. That is that blessed union of two natures, of the human nature and of the divine nature. But the Lord does not in this day require of us the understanding of this union, but only that we may worship Him as He has given Himself to be. Already 700 years before this union has taken place, then Isaiah has prophesied that it would take place. Behold, he said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And all that time, the church of God did wait, not knowing how that the Lord would accomplish His own word. And now today we look back upon it, and yet we are still without understanding. But oh, that we may be given to adore, that we may be given to behold that Son of God in our heart. Because it is one thing to adore Him in our mind, then it is another thing to worship Him, to glorify Him. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this morning hour out of the words of our text, Luke 2, and there of verse 7, only this part, and laid Him in a manger. So far, the words of our text. The humble birth of Christ in Bethlehem's manger. First, the requirement of the Father. Second, a testimony against the Jews. Third, the consolation of God's people. The humble birth of Christ in Bethlehem's manger, first, the requirement of the Father. Second, a testimony against the Jews. Third, the consolation of God's people. From where, congregation, does the salvation of the church of God proceed? That proceeds already from eternity. That proceeds already from the counsel of God. Thus it was already in eternity that the Father has shown the love that He had to His church. That was not only in their election, but that was also in the election of His only begotten Son. Behold My servant whom I uphold, Mine elect, in whom My soul delighteth. How great is that love of God the Father, who has in Himself sought out a way that He may redeem His own people.
How shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage among the nations? As if the Father, he is deliberating within himself. Was that then so difficult for the Father? No. But the Lord shows to us in his word how that just as if the Father held a council with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, how that can possibly be that that man shall fall and also be redeemed again. Because in that redemption, then it was necessary that God would uphold all of his own attributes. Because in that which God decreed, God could not deny himself. That is why we say that is a requirement of the Father, that the Lord Jesus was born in such a way. It is for the upholding of the attributes of God, for the upholding of his justice, for the upholding of his righteousness, and laid him in a manger. As the exalted Son of God, before that he came to this world, then it was impossible for that Son of God to save his church. And why was that so impossible? Because of that price that had to be paid. Because that price had to be paid in that same nature in which sin had been committed. Therefore, it was impossible that the Son of God would remain in heaven and at the same time pay the debt of his church which was on earth. But no, he had to leave that heavenly glory and come into this world. He must come in the flesh. He must become a man. He must go in the way of humiliation. Necessary. Why? That he may pay the price for his church. So that the Father himself may say, I have found a ransom. But now that incarnation, the fact that Christ in his divine nature has taken upon himself also the human nature, that is not in itself a humiliation. Boys and girls, what did God say when he created Adam and Eve, and in them you and I? Then what did God say? He said, behold, it is very good. Thus, if Christ would come and he would take upon himself that same nature that our first parents had before that sin came into this world, that would have been no humiliation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Must then the Lord Jesus Christ take upon himself that human nature, even as a fallen creature? No, we know that Christ
In order to pay that debt, he also must remain in himself without sin. Thus, what kind of nature must that be? That must be that true human nature that has been subjected to the results, to the consequences of the sin of man. Thus, not in himself sinful, but to come into this world just as if he also had sinned, just as you and I had sinned, and laid him in a manger. Had he been born in a palace, then he had also been subject to the results, to the consequences of sin. But congregation, now the luxuries that we all may have in this world, the comforts that we may have in this world, they are in themselves a certain picture. They are in themselves a certain type of the blessings that you and I have been created with by God in paradise. Every comfort and every blessing that we are given when we are still in this world has been so completely forfeited by you and me on account of our sin. Thus, it is the misery that is in this world that Christ must subject himself to in his incarnation, not the riches and not the pomp and not the glory of this world, but instead the poverty, the suffering, and the rejection of this world. The requirement of the Father to take upon himself the suffering of his church due to sin. Therefore, the Father will also bring this to pass in his life. Then there is nothing that is able to keep the decree of God from being fulfilled in this world. There is no edit, there is no will of any king in this world that is able to halt, that is able to stop, that is able to frustrate that decree of God. And therefore we read, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. 27 years before this, this taxing was also attempted. But then there were disturbances in the empire, and that has made it impossible to make this taxing or this census. So we see the Lord in the way of his providence standing over everything for the fulfillment of his own decree. Because that time was not yet ripe for Christ to take that human nature upon himself in this world and laid him in a manger. The requirement of the Father. Why necessary? For the satisfaction of the Father. And what lay in the heart of the Son? Then it was also his delight to do that will of his Father. And what was necessary in his sight? Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Therefore, it came to pass in those days. Therefore, we see Mary, great with child. She is coming with Joseph, traveling to Bethlehem, of the house and of the lineage of David. Everything working for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And yet in that fulfillment of that counsel of the Lord, man makes himself guilty. We see that in our second thought. That is a testimony against the Jews, and laid him in a manger. Mary and Joseph go to an inn, boys and girls. And they ask if there is for them a place to stay. And what do we hear? No, there is no room for you. And perhaps they go to another one. What do they hear? No, we have no room in the inn for you. We say now a testimony against the Jews. Why? Because there was no room, because there was no place for them in the inn. We say a testimony against the Jews. Why? Because of lack of mercy, because of lack of pity, because of lack of compassion. What great man in this world would have been in more needy circumstances as this Mary, who was great with child? We say a testimony against the Jews. It was no different as it was in the days of the prophets, when the Lord has rebuked his own people, when he says that you swallow up the needy and you turn aside the needy and the poor from their right, where we read that they vexed the poor and needy and they oppressed the stranger wrongfully. The Jews are even to this moment wrapped up in their worldly affairs. The Jews are here desiring the profit that they may receive now from this enrollment of Caesar. They have here a great opportunity to profit in this world, and laid him in a manger. But is that not, congregation, typical also of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ by his own people? There was among the people of the Jews in general an expectation that the Messiah, he was very soon going to be born. We have heard of that. And now when John the Baptist was born, and when he came for circumcision, then we have heard that the mouth of his father that has gone opened, and that he has spoken of his son, that he was to go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Then what do we read? And that the people are all speaking about these things, that these sayings, they are noised about through all that hill country of Judea. Thus there is a commotion amongst the people of the Jews. Thus there is a certain longing, there is a certain expectation that soon the Lord is going to fulfill that promise. But indeed, what was this expectation? That expectation was of royalty. That expectation was of pomp. That expectation was of greatness in all the things that are in this world. then they are looking for the highest things. Oh, if that innkeeper, had only known who that child was that this woman, great with child, had in her womb, that he has turned away from his door. Oh, had he only known, then we say, then he would never have turned that woman away. But there is not the least thought in the heart of this innkeeper. Why not? Because of their poverty, because of their humble circumstances wherein they are dwelling in this world, and therefore no room for them in the inn. We say, congregation, a testimony against the Jews. So that was also when the Lord Jesus has fulfilled his offices later on in this world. What was it? It was the poverty. It was the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom makest thou thyself? There was such a stumbling block unto the Jews. Because they were looking, because they were searching for much higher things. Because it was so impossible for them to condescend to men who were of low estate. What did they say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And laid him in a manger. Congregation, it is the day of Christmas. And we commemorate the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. But is it now also our desire that that Son of God may be born in our heart? Do we also have a need in this morning for the application? Because that is so necessary, else this day, else this word of the Lord shall also testify against you and me when we stand in before the Lord in that great day of days. But now, what is our expectation of such a birth? We know that there are many that have no desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many whose hearts are simply filled with all the things that are in this world. Oh, boys and girls, are you really jealous of all those people that are rejoicing today around a Christmas tree? And that may be involved in all that vanity. Oh, I hope that you are not jealous of those people. Then there is in the heart no desire, no need for the substance that Christmas is all about. Then there are, congregation, also those who come to church. No, we do not completely reject that meaning of Christmas. Yes, maybe we even have somewhat of a desire for the application in our own heart. But what do we want? We want to have the blessing of the Lord, but we also want to include all the vanity of the world.
We want to have both of these things together. We want that they shall live side by side. We want that we may be able to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season all our life long, and then we receive the blessing of heaven when we die. And the Lord Jesus has so clearly expressed that that is an impossibility, that it is a choice that needs to be made by grace. It is either one way or it is the other way. Congregation, maybe it is that we have rejected all that is of this world. And maybe it is that we have come together in the house of God on that day of Christmas, and that we have besought the Lord, and that the Lord would give to us that blessing.
And yet there is no room in our heart for that child. And why not? Because we want that child to dwell next to all of our righteousnesses. And all the things, the holy duties that we are performing, my supplications and my bending of my knees and my reading of that holy word of God and my seeking and my searching and my speaking about the things of the Lord, all good. And now, Lord, and wilt thou look on all the things that I do? And wilt thou come now and also dwell with me? No. No place yet for the child. Why not? Because there is yet no manger. Because there is yet no stable. Congregation, let us never deceive ourselves concerning that personal application of that Son of God. To think that we accept a Jesus of five letters, oh, what profit shall it be when the whole world shall think well of us, and we stand outside a closed door on that last day. Oh, what profit shall it be if the Lord comes to us and he says to us, even as he spoke in his word, that he says, you have a name to live, and you are dead. Congregation, we need it to come from above. Let us now in this morning lay our own heart next to the Word of God. What is that word of God? And laid him in a manger. That is the only place that Christ is laid. That was the requirement of the Father. It is also the work Holy Spirit, to lay that child in a manger. Let us sing first. Psalter 396, 1, 3, 4, and 6. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. 1, 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 396. Our last thought, the consolation of God's people, and laid him in a manger. See Joseph and Mary turn away from that inn. They have no place to go. And how the devil must have mocked within the heart of this Joseph and Mary. They are not congregation strangers of the word of the Lord in their life. Both of them. And now see the circumstances that they are coming into. And how many questions must now be lying in the heart of these two people. Is this now the way that the Lord works? Does the Lord bring his people into such circumstances as these? Where is now thy God? Is thy way not hid from his eyes? Is the Lord indeed going before you? Is it true, and that that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall truly be called the Son of God? Would the Lord not then open doors for you by his providence in this world to lead you from step unto step? And laid him in a manger. We say in our last thought, the consolation of God's people. How is that now such a great consolation? Congregation, what makes faith necessary for the comfort of God's people? What makes faith necessary for the comfort of God's people? Do you know what makes it necessary? A greater chasm, a greater gulf than their intellect can overreach. Shall we repeat it? What makes faith necessary for the comfort of God's people? A greater chasm, a greater gulf than the intellect, than the mind can overreach. Then they need faith to receive comfort. The Pharisee. Did he need faith to receive comfort? He did not. And why not? There was for him no chasm. There was for him no gulf. He could very easily understand why the Lord would receive such a person as he was unto himself. Thus the mind, the intellect, was able to give unto the Pharisee comfort. Faith that is not necessary for the comfort of any hypocrite. Why not? Because he is rich and increased with goods, because there is nothing that his mind it cannot understand. I can well understand and conceive how that the Lord must be so pleased with him. Where is now faith necessary? Faith is necessary in those places that the intellect, that our comprehension, that our mind cannot go. Faith is necessary when the mind, when the intellect sees an impossibility. Faith was necessary for Abraham to believe that he would receive a newborn child when he was 100 years old. His intellect could not go there. And in order for him to receive any comfort, then it was necessary that faith was wrought in his soul, and that he may receive that comfort from above. Faith was necessary for Abraham to slay his promised child, to receive comfort where his mind could not comprehend all these things. Faith is necessary where the heights congregation and the depths, they have to come together. And we cannot understand how the heights and the depths can come together. Faith was necessary for a Gideon, whose family was poor in Manasseh, and he himself the least in all his father's house, for him to receive comfort that he may go forward to defeat the Midianites as one man. Faith was necessary for a Rahab, who was a heathen harlot, to be comforted in the thought of that God of Israel, that she also may be received among that people. Oh, where that mind, where that intellect cannot go, where it cannot bring those heights and those depths together, oh, then their faith is necessary for comfort. And congregation, where do the heights and the depths come more together than in the humble birth of that Son of God? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There he lays, that child, in that manger, in that feeding trough for the animals, that mighty King of Kings, that Savior of the world, that Messiah, that horn of salvation, lying there in that manger. Oh, there he lays, he of whom Moses and the prophets did write. There he lays, he that shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, who can fathom? And laid him in a manger that is outside of the comprehension of every human being, that only may be received by a true, saving, living faith. Oh, there is no man that is able by nature to see through at the abasement of the Lord Jesus Christ except by faith. And oh, when that faith that is given, then those shepherds, and then they come and they bow down before that child, and they worship him lying in that manger. Oh, when the Lord opens the eyes of his people and gives their heart to go where that mind and that intellect is unable to go, then we can read that Simeon, he takes him up in his arms and he blesses God. Oh, then we read of that Anna. And then she speaks of that child to all those who look for redemption in Israel. All these given by that true saving faith to see through that veil of his humanity and to see therein that blessed and that glorious child. And our congregation, that true church, we say in our third thought, the comfort of God's people. Oh, then that true church sees here that same thing that is necessary in their own life. And why is that? It is because the heavens and the earth, that is because the heights and the depths, they must come together in order for this chief of sinners to be received into that kingdom of God. Oh, the heights and the depths, they must come together for this dog to receive one crumb out of the table of that master. Oh, the heights and the depths, they have to come together for that bride to say, I am black and yet I am comely, and laid him in a manger. Oh, this is the comfort that the church may receive when they may behold by faith that child lying in that manger. Oh, hear the heights and the depths to come together in this child. God and sinners reconciled. Hear the church whose righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They may receive a good and a well-grounded hope of eternal life. Oh, hear that people whose heart is in themselves nothing but a stable of wickedness. They receive an expectation that shall never, never, never be put to shame. Hear that man who dared not to lift up his eyes unto heaven may go down unto his house justified. Oh, and laid him in a manger. Congregation, was it ever in our life, our consolation, where a blessed gospel was sung by those angels? For sinful, for guilty, for hell-worthy creatures. What a blessed comfort for those who are so unworthy and so filthy and so corrupt in themselves. A great comfort when the Lord laid him in a manger. Oh, when the Lord laid him in a manger. And then he hath filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he hath sent empty away. When the Lord laid him in a manger, and then he raised the poor out of the dust, and he raised the beggar out of the dunghill, and he set him with princes, and he set him and to inherit that throne of glory, when he laid his own beloved only begotten Son in that manger. Oh, congregation, beg the Lord to show unto you your wretchedness, that we may see something of the stable of our heart. Oh, ask the Lord to show you the preciousness of that child as he was given by him to lay in that manger. Oh, then we receive what the natural man has to miss. And why does he have to miss it? He has to miss it. And we will have to miss it if we are only one step above that manger. Because that is the place that the Lord has laid him. It was required by his Father, and it is fulfilled by that Holy Spirit
to the comfort of his blessed church and to their rejoicing world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O make it, Lord, a manger within. Oh, it is a stable. But Lord, we cannot see it as a stable unless thou showest it unto us. Oh, how wretched when we do not see our misery. Oh, Lord, convert us. Open our eyes. Then we shall see. Oh, how suitable is that blessed and dear child to the chief of the sinners. Oh, how blessedly suitable when he went to sit with publicans and with sinners. Oh, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, give comfort in the life of those whom thou hast placed on the outside. Oh, wilt thou bring them on the inside? And wilt thou instruct all of us in that blessed lesson? Remember us further in this day. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour once again. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for a blessing from thy heavenly store. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Well, the last song today is Psalter 427, stanzas 1 and 6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he, his mercy excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness, and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy excellent in fullness endureth to eternity. 1 and 6 of Psalter 427.
Let all exalt Jehovah.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.